Returning to John chapter 14, verse 27. John chapter 14 and verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We thank God for these gracious words today. Here in the Lord's upper room discourse with his disciples, he introduces another subject as he encourages them toward this matter of anxiety. These final words of the chapter end as the chapter began. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Before we consider these words, I would like us to consider the circumstances that existed when these words were spoken. They were spoken in one of the most barbaric seasons in history. Jesus was about to be crucified on a cross in a matter of days. Peter will draw his sword and cut off the ear of the high priest, the servant of the high priest. Yet our Lord tells his disciples he is leaving his peace with them. He's telling them, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And yet all of the disciples fled and left him. It shows how volatile our faith is and how it can be. Some time ago, we shared some reasons why you and I can be at peace in this troubled world. We said we should not have a troubled heart because a troubled heart is an insecure heart. We said God has made provision for those to know him. We also said that he has given us a promise here in John 14. If I go, I will come again. But we said that there is a pathway to follow. Jesus said that he is the way. Now here in verse 27, the Lord Jesus reiterates what was earlier said under a new subject. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Everyone doesn't have this peace. Everyone doesn't want this peace. Everyone will not desire this peace. We read in verses 25 and 26, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The peace that our Lord Jesus is speaking about is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith. There are three ways we can view this peace in the Bible from the Lord. There must be peace with God. The Lord defines the peace he gives in verse 27 saying, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. In other words, you and I cannot dictate to God the terms of peace that he gives. It has to be a peace that comes from God. You and I cannot have this peace if you are at war with God. You know, when a person has a pattern of sin in their lives, it is because they are at war with God. A disobedient heart is a hostile heart against God. And that hostility manifests itself when our wills are challenged. You see this all the time. By nature, that is what we are. We need, first, peace with God. Isaiah calls Jesus the Prince of Peace. Paul in Ephesians 2 says that Jesus came and preached peace to them who were far off, meaning the Gentiles, and to them who were near, the Jews, that had the gospel, that had no peace. It is the peace that comes from the gospel. I'm sorry for you if you dislike preaching, because peace is announced through preaching. How beautiful are the feet of him that bring glad tidings, that preach the gospel of peace. Not any preaching, but faithful preaching. And you know, Romans 5, 1 and 2 tells us how a person receives peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The Apostle Paul calls this peace a grace. Just as I was saying, a gift, charis. Observe with me that this peace comes through someone. The word through is describing the means of an action. The peace of God comes because of an action of Jesus and not because of an action of man. That's what the word true implies. Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether there be things on in heaven or in earth. And then the apostle says, and you, Colossians, that were sometimes alienated and enemies by in your mind by wicked works, yet now have he reconciled. This is the peace that we must begin with. This is the peace we are called to have. Peace with God. Thus he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. He says, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. The world cannot give us such peace. All the world has to offer is turmoil and trouble and headaches. Listen carefully to what you're hearing. Is enough to drive you crazy. I have tuned them out completely. The world cannot. And as a matter of fact, the more and more you listen to the world and the news, you will be more aggravated. Listen to the Bible, man. This is our source in these days. God will not let us down. I find that we are too engaged in what is going on out there. I see people They cannot offer you such peace, brethren. The world may give us a temporary horizontal peace, but it is not lasting. Something else is going to come. It is only our Lord that can give that vertical peace. And this is the peace the psalmist tells us about in Psalm 34, verses 12 to 14. What man is he that desire life, eternal life, and love of many days, eternal days, that he may see good, salvation? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. We are to pursue peace and not amass. The life the psalmist is inferring that we should desire is eternal life. The many days we are to desire are the days of eternity with our Lord and our Savior. But there's a condition. Sorry about that. Depart from evil and do good. In other words, it's a call to repentance. So first we are called to make peace with God. And you might be sitting here, and generally I don't know your heart. I don't know the hearts of people. We are friends, obviously, but I don't know your heart. We saw a man this morning that had not for the wider version, the wider explanation of the word, we would have assumed something wrong about him. But secondly, having seen that we are called to make peace, we have to make peace with God. We are called to have the peace of God. There's a difference between having peace with God and having the peace of God. One may have peace with God and do not have the peace of God, or peace that comes from knowing God. They are not at peace with themselves. To have the peace of God brings contentment. Yeah. Our Lord says, "My peace I give you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." The world, or the word give, is a word that means to bestow. It's the word grace. We can beseech the Lord for this peace, this grace. In almost all of the Pauline epistles to the churches, he began by invoking grace and peace upon the churches. You ever notice that? 1 Corinthians 1:3, "Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." You read this repeatedly in the Pauline epistles. If God have given grace, we ought to have the peace of God. You know, we can ask for that peace. You know, the Lord Jesus said, "If you then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" You should ask for this peace. And you should ask for that peace of God. The apostle speaks of the peace of God in that famous Philippians 4 text, when he says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds," here's the word again, "because of Christ Jesus," or through Christ Jesus. Paul says that the peace of God surpasses understanding. This means that we do not understand how we can have peace in the midst of turmoil. With all the knowledge a person may have, they cannot truly understand the peace that God gives his people. The lost man will not have the peace of God. Their trouble because of their sin. Isaiah says, the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, save the Lord, to the wicked. And by the way, the wicked means the unconverted heart. But on the contrary, the psalmist says, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Psalm 29, verse 11. Let me ask you, are you consumed by the troubles of this life, by anxiety? The biggest scare some people have today is catching a virus. I never see anything like it in all of my history, 40 years in the United States. I never see anything like it. First things first, you need peace with God. Then you should have the peace of God. If one doesn't have peace with God, how are they going to have peace, the peace of God in this troubled world? I wonder about that. In these days we are seeing, I'm seeing some with goggles and hoods. I've even seen someone with a gas mask. I brought it to Marcel's attention. Look at this guy got on a gas mask. People have literally gone crazy because they do not have the peace of God. Now, I'm not saying that we should march into danger zones unprotected. By all means, we should adhere to safe principles. But come on. Come on, man. Are you a Christian? My neighbor said, well, I can't understand these Christians that talk about they're going to heaven. And all of them are so worried. Our Lord gives peace. Peace with God. He causes us to have the peace of God. A beautiful psalm that we like to quote, Psalm 19:165. Great peace to them that love thy law, and nothing should offend them. The words nothing shall offend them don't mean that Christians will not be offended. There's much to be offended of as we are in this world, and there's much that will offend God's people. What it means is nothing will cause them to stumble, to shake. Paul calls God's peace one that passes understanding. The text continues in verse 28 of John 14. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away, and I come again to you. He reiterates his promise. If you love me, you should rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. When God brought the plagues in Egypt, God somehow miraculously stayed those plagues from his people by his own hand, who were trusting in him. When God passed over Egypt that night, the blood was applied and the death angel passed. God will protect his people. If it means that it is your time, it is your time. But generally, God will protect his people wonderfully. As far as I know, none of our membership have perished. And who are you? I see somebody with a piece of paper on their hand holding on to a door. Come on, man. You need to have something better than that. If you want this peace, why would the disciples rejoice for the Lord's departure? Well, one was already stated. He must go so that the Holy Spirit will be imparted. Second, he must go away to be with his Father. The disciples had every reason to rejoice. Jesus came to this hostile world. Now he is returning to his Father. But the Lord's peace prevails and will prevail in his absence. He said, "For my Father is greater than I." Now the Jehovah's Witnesses love this text because it gives them grounds to make Jesus less than God. When he said, "My Father is greater than I." Now this is the problem when men isolate a verse of scripture or a few verses to teach a doctrine. There is abundant proof in the Old Testament and the New Testament that Jesus is eternal God. Even Isaiah said that. So when we read this text, we have to be careful that we are not making Jesus less than God. John says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." And I, in my last research, this word "give" is in the present continuous text. My peace I am giving unto you. I'm offering you this peace. Not like the world giveth, I give unto you. There first must be peace with God and sinner. Vertical. And that's the cross, by the way. There should be the peace of God when we know him. But thirdly, there ought to be peace among ourselves. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. If indeed we are children of peace, most assuredly we should be at peace among ourselves. You know, there can be quiet war in the midst of the church. There can be quiet war in the home where husband and wife are fighting like cats and dogs. And I know this for a fact. Peace begins with our Lord and it extends to the brethren. Proverbs 16:7 says, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." And by the way, we have to look at that text in two ways. The Lord's ways please his Father. And we, his enemies, got peace in that way. The Lord Jesus' ways please his Father. And we who are his enemies are able to make peace with him. We can look at it that way. Peace comes through him. But if our ways are pleasing the Lord, it would reduce strife among others. One of the first things we should ask is my way pleasing the Lord? At times when there's division in the home between husband and wife, rest assured, somebody's ways are not pleasing the Lord. Whenever there's turmoil in this church, somebody is not pleasing the Lord. And that's why there is no peace. Jesus offers peace. Some argue that they have to please themselves. But that is not what the scripture says. When a man lives, please the Lord. That's what we should first look at. Are your ways pleasing God? Well, there's a benefit from that. Your enemies will be at peace with you. the unsaved would seek the peace that you have? Christ. The Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13 admonish the saints, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And then he add a clause, and be at peace among yourselves. Clergy, laity, must be enjoying in peace. In some congregations, there's war between laity and clergy. It is he against them, or them against him, or war between each other in the congregation. Some things begin to unfold here in our church, where members are at odds with each other and coming to the same table. Paul said in Philippians 4:2, I beseech Eudaeus and Syntyche that they speak the same thing, that they be of the same mind. We can't speak the same thing if we are not at peace with God. Or if we don't have the peace of God, we would not have peace among ourselves, brethren. This is a very simple text. If one has peace with God, when we have the peace of God, there will be peace among ourselves. The Colossians text. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. And be thankful. Colossians 3:15. To have the peace rule in your heart mean that you should ever, according to Ephesians 4, endeavor to keep the bonds of peace in the church. Strive to keep the bonds of peace in your congregation. Stay away from things that will not bring peace. Stay away from conversations and words and gossip. Start strife. So the Lord Jesus has given us some very helpful insights. Then verse 30 through 31 concludes, and this is where I will stop this evening. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and have nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Of course, the prince of this world, we don't have to exegete this. We know who the prince of this world is. Prince of the power of the air is Satan. And it is interesting to know that Jesus saw him coming, approaching. And he said, he has nothing in me. He has no accusation in me. As a matter of fact, he came by way of the Sanhedrin. He came by way of Judas. He came by way of the authorities. In a few days, Jesus would be bound. But the prince of this world has no valid accusation to make of Jesus. Three times, Pilate said, I found no fault in this man. Three times. He's the perfect one. He is the prince of peace. He's the pattern of peace. So, brethren, as we conclude our John 14 message, it ends as it began. Have you noticed? Do not let your heart be troubled. Agitated is the better word. Do not let your heart be agitated. You know, we use that word. Oh, he have become agitated over the circumstances around you. Don't be agitated. Be calm in your soul. If God have granted you peace, this peace, it is threefold. It begins with having peace with God. But it should come beyond that. Peace with God comes through justification. Peace of God comes through daily application of God's word. Peace with others comes through union with God's people. Unity with God's people. So if you struggle with what Jesus is speaking about, this is the best way I can explain it to you this evening. So you think about it, meditate on it. John chapter 14, verse 27 is what I sought to explain to you. And may the Lord have his way in our lives this week as we display peace on earth, goodwill toward man. Let's pray. We thank you, O God, for our Savior, our teacher. Lord, help us in this turmoil world to be men and women of peace. Help us. Help us to trust in you and to wait on you. Protect us as you did for the last 9 weeks, Lord. Help us that we will follow your guide, that we will follow your pathway. We pray for our people again. May you be with us all this hour. In Jesus' name, amen.